Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Jordan Sloggett.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we are discussing the Living Labs project with Dr. Kim Schneider, assistant professor in forage and service crops at the University of Guelph.
Welcome, Kim. Thanks for joining us on Flock Talk.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, Kim, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your career so far, and why you chose this area of research?
Sure. Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Plant Agriculture at the University of Guelph. And yeah, my research kind of specializes in forages. So that spans pasture and hay production and also cover crops. Most of my research kind of focuses on answering some basic agronomic questions, but also looking at environmental impacts or potentially environmental benefits from these crops. And so this could be looking at things like improving nutrient use efficiency, maybe by planting a legume-based cover crop, or increasing carbon sequestration through grazing management. I guess, a little bit of my background. I have more of an environmental science and soil science background, and then got into agronomy throughout grad school. And I've always kind of been interested in, increasing soil health, but also nutrient management and nutrient use efficiencies. And so this led me kind of to become more interested in perennial forages because they have, I'm a fan of grasslands. I think they have immense value in terms of providing ecosystem services like increasing carbon. They also cover the soil over the winter and prevent soil erosion. But we can't have all our cropland in perennial forages. So I think the cover crops sort of is a nice fit in that it helps, to use the word perennialize annual cropping systems just by maybe covering the soil over the winter. And I think integrating livestock back into annual cropping production systems could be a win-win in terms of saving livestock producers' cost on feed, but also perhaps improving soil health in the annual crop production system at the same time.
Interesting. So in the last year or so, we have undertaken a new endeavor with the Ontario Soil and Crop Improvement Association, and Ontario Sheep Farmers has become a partner in what we're calling the Living Labs Project. Can you talk to us a little bit about this project overall, which has many, many sub-projects, your involvement with it from a grazing cover crop perspective, and also, who are the funders and what is the objective of your individual portion of that project?
Yeah, for sure. So Living Labs, just to start with, it's a kind of this unique approach of doing research, which brings together farmers, scientists, and other experts that really are looking at developing together and then testing on farm best management practices. Mostly it's looking at best management practices that reduce greenhouse gas emissions, but also things like improving soil health is kind of captured under there. And so the hope is by doing this on farm under real world scenarios that this will accelerate the rate of adoption by farmers. And so, yeah, we're part of Living Labs Ontario, and it's one of 14 living labs across the country. And it's funded through Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's Agricultural Climate Solutions Program. And so in addition to that funding, there's funding coming from organizations such as Beef Farmers of Ontario, Dairy Farmers of Ontario, of course, Ontario Sheep Farmers, Grain Farmers of Ontario, Ontario Federation of Agriculture, Ontario Pork. And then it's all coordinated by Ontario Soil and Crop Improvement Association. So I know that was, a bit of a mouthful, but within the Living Labs, then I'm leading one of the activities. I think there's seven. And I'm looking at, the agronomic and environmental benefits of grazing cover crops. And with that project, my main objectives are to determine the impact that grazing a cover crop has on soil health, but also on the subsequent crop yield. And so this is really in the short term, like just in one season, are we seeing any differences? And so some of those things we'll look at is like soil organic matter, aggregate stability, soil respiration, which gives us an indication of microbial activity in the soil, mineralizable nitrogen. And we'll also look at like the inorganic nitrogen available prior to the next year's crop planting to see if the grazing of the cover crop may have impacted nutrient availability. And this is something our producers thought there might be an increase in nitrogen availability to the next year's crop. And maybe just to add, we'll also look at compaction of the soil, because that, although we have suspicions that the grazing of the cover crops may be a good thing for soil health, there's some concerns about potentially compaction. And so both, maybe this might be a concern more if you're grazing cattle than sheep, just because they're so much bigger. And I should mention, for our project, we have 7 producer participants, and 4 of them are beef farmers and 3 of them are sheep farmers. We had to be quite specific with our site criteria selection. So they were all from annual crop fields that had been in annual cropping systems for the last 10 years. Specifically, we were kind of targeting that, Southern Ontario rotation of corn, soybeans, and then winter wheat, followed by a cover crop at that point in time. And so the field also had to have a minimal history of manure application. We were really targeting annual crop fields that typically receive conventional fertilizer and haven't seen a lot of livestock manure.
Kim, you just sort of mentioned the involvement of producers in this project. Can you just expand on how exactly sheep farmers are involved in the research project?
Sure. Yeah. So we have 7 producer participants. And like I mentioned, 3 are sheep farmers, and I won't name them as I didn't get their permission in advance, but I can say that from meeting them, they seem to be quite progressive, having a fairly large number of ewes and lambs each year. So these 3 sheep farmers will graze cover crops this fall, and they've helped us identify suitable fields. It happened that our sheep farmers are grazing on neighboring farmer fields that are growing annual crops. With some of our beef producers, they have more of a mixed farming system, and they're growing annual crops as well as having their beef production operations. But so they have a partnership with an annual crop producer, and they'll graze on their land. The farmers also participate in a yearly co-development session. So far we've just had one, and they get the opportunity to provide their input into how the research will be conducted. And I guess lastly, like some of them, as the project continues, may host tours or field days at their farm, and be available to discuss like what's working or not working and their own observations.
Cool. So we've talked a little bit about what they are required to do as participants in the project. What motivates them to participate in these types of projects, maybe in general? What are the benefits to their individual farms from the data that's gathered and from their participation in the project?
Right. So that's a good question. And I have to admit that I haven't asked them specifically what their motivations were, but from just talking with them, I gather that they are a group that's generally keen to learn new things and or keen to share with others what might already be working for them on their farm. And so they might have, from observation that grazing cover crops is a good thing for, you know, maybe the next crop yield, but they might not have the data yet to show that or be curious about what it is doing to soil health. So I think they are interested in kind of getting the answers and helping the industry move forward. And I think they also see it as an opportunity for partnerships with annual crop producers. You know, maybe it allows them to have some extra land in the fall that may help, especially with sheep. I know parasites are a concern, right? Have some fresh grazing land that they can get to. But they will also kind of benefit from interacting with the researchers, getting data on their site-specific field, getting the soil data, that type of thing. So I think most of them are interested to see that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like there's quite a few benefits from getting involved in a project like this. Can you talk us through how the project is going to run this summer and what cover crop mix you're planting and how will the plots be laid out and grazed?
Sure. All of our farmers, like I mentioned, have fields that are currently in winter wheat this season. And so they will be planted to a cover crop mix post-winter wheat harvest. We're planning to put in oats and peas mixture. Probably it's going to be 70% oats, 30% peas by weight. We've kind of consulted with the producers and wanted to keep it to a pretty simple mix because it seems like the majority of producers, you know, would go with a simple cover crop mix as opposed to a really diverse cover crop mix. We've identified suitable fields with each producer and we're going to keep it pretty simple in that the field at each site will just be divided in half. There'll be some selection of how that field is divided and everything, but one half will be grazed and one half will be left ungrazed. So then we will take baseline soil samples before grazing and soil samples after grazing in the fall, and then again in the spring around the time of corn planting. And we're also going to monitor things like soil moisture and temperature, which might be affected by removing that. Well, it's not totally removed, but definitely changing the format of that cover crop biomass by grazing. And that's this year. And next year, we're going to look at the corn, how it's growing and any impacts that might happen on corn yield.
Amazing. So how will the findings from the Living Labs project help sheep farmers increase sustainability and productivity of their operations and communicate the benefits of cover crop grazing?
Yeah, I see it as potentially helping producers that may not have tried this before to see it as an opportunity to extend their grazing season through grazing cover crops and reduce their overwintering feed costs. Most of our producers typically graze in October, so the perennial pastures may be not growing as much at that time. And again, maybe the parasite issue, it's just getting the sheep onto new land. Mm-hmm. And maybe start thinking about if we can show data that at least, you know, maybe we're improving soil health, maybe we're at least not negatively affecting it or not negatively affecting the next crop's yield, then I think that the sheep producers could take that to an annual crop neighbor who may also be nervous about having livestock, you know, graze their cover crop and show them. And so I think our results might help ease any concerns that either the livestock or the annual crop farmer might have. And hopefully by having some demonstration days where farmers can ask our participating producers would also help the farmers, you know, be more comfortable to see this as a viable option. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any from your experience of results from past projects that you've participated in? Would any of those results lead you to believe that you will have positive results from this project?
A little bit, but definitely not fully. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be doing this work. But we've done some work at the Elora Research Station the last couple of years with either growing cover crops in small plots or also in bigger fields that have been grazed by cattle. I guess we've seen, and I mean, it makes sense because oats is a common cover crop that producers are using, but we've seen that an oats or oats-based mixture is pretty reliable in terms of a biomass producer compared to some of the other cover crop species mixtures. So, we feel pretty good about using an oats pea mixture. And the animals seem to like it as well. So we do know that it can extend the grazing season and provide additional grazing for farmers. Obviously, you know, there's going to be variability in how much is produced depending on the weather, that how dry it is that time of year. But what we don't know yet is about the impact that grazing cover crops has on soil health. So that's really why we're kind of doing the project. And it might be that it's really too short of a time for some of these soil health indicators to change just in one season, but I guess we don't really know until we look. And then also, some producers are concerned about compaction, that grazing might lead to compaction. So hopefully we can provide some answers on that. We don't really know if there's any impact on the next year's crop yield either. So we're excited to see what happens there.
Yeah, we're excited too. And since this is a multi-year project, are there opportunities for sheep farmers to get involved in future years of the Living Labs project or similar research initiatives?
Yeah, potentially. So the project, it will be repeated next year in 2025, and then monitoring the corn yield will continue into the 2027 growing season. So while we're kind of hoping our seven producers stay on for another year, it's possible they might not have a suitable field site because we'll be moving fields. Again, to find a field that's in winter wheat next year. So we might need to recruit a couple new producers. Potentially, we might be able to fit one more if we found a good fit. Outside of that, sometimes I do have other research projects we might need producer participants for. I'm not really actively recruiting right now, but something seems to always come up. So there's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. It's probably useful to keep a Rolodex of people that to reach out to in the future, right?
Yes.
So looking ahead, how do you envision this Living Labs project leading to future research?
Yeah, so, I mean, like I mentioned, we're hoping to see if there's an impact of that grazing cover crops on either the soil health in the short term, this is just after one grazing, or on the next year's corn crop. But we do realize there may be long-term benefits that we don't capture in this project. So even grazing a cover crop every 3 years in that crop rotation, you know, it might take 3 to 4 rounds before there's an effect. So this research really focused on the short term, but I think that short term will help farmers ease their concerns about adoption. But one thing I am hoping to find funding for in the next couple of years is a longer term trial at the Elora Research Station that would be an annual crop rotation, again, the corn, soy, wheat, and have a cover crop planted after the wheat that would either be grazed, not grazed, or the other treatment we're looking at is harvesting and removing that biomass like you would maybe for silage production. One thing I will mention is that I do have a complementary research trial with very similar objectives that's looking at grazing cover crops and also impacts on soil health and the next year's crop yield. And so this work is funded through, it's a bit of a mouthful, but Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's Agri-Science Program. It's a science cluster, and it's under the Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership. And the Beef Cattle Research Council is the industry partner. So it is focused more on beef cattle, grazing cover crops. And so for this work, so it won't be on farms, but it will be complementing the work that we're doing with the Living Labs. And it will be at the Ontario Beef Research Center. We also call it the Alora Research Station, where we have 6 8-acre fields that we can work with. And we will probably have 2 different cover crop mixtures. So 3 fields will be in one mix, 3 in the other. And we can have more of a randomized replicated design at the research station. So hopefully between the on-farm work and then at the research station trial, you know, we're able to put some of those together to confirm our objectives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting. Thank you, Kim. We're really looking forward to the results of this project and what we're going to learn about sheep grazing and the benefits to the soil and to the following crop. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks for your interest. Yeah.
And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next Wednesday for our interview with Chris Vervoort from YouManage.
Hey, Jordan, what's going on at OSF?
Are you a master of framing flocks? Our photo contest is calling. The 2024 OSF photo contest is open for submission. The deadline for entries is September 5th, 2024. Categories include flock shots, around the farm, sheep farmers, all about wool, and fan favorite. Top photos in each category will receive a $100 prize with an additional $250 grand prize. Plus, every submission stands a chance to win the $100 fan favorite award. If you're interested in joining our photo contest, you can find out more information on our website at ontariosheep.org/photo-contest.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts for our future episodes, and please share our podcast with your friends.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, at Ontario Sheep on X, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org.